Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello everyone everywhere, this is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome back to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast. And we're going to be finishing our interview today with Kim Chadwell about her book, Dripping in Grace. But before I say anything else, I have to encourage you. If you missed yesterday's interview, you missed yesterday's episode, you need to go back and listen to it. It's episode number 347. And you have to get caught up because of the length of the interview that I had with Kim. I'm not able to rewind it and play, you know, half of it to catch everybody back up. You need to go back and listen to it. It's just as simple as that. And I highly am encouraging you to use the link in the show notes to go to Amazon and order her book, Dripping in Grace. It is a must read. And once you get it, you'll understand why I'm telling you this. Brother Bob doesn't, you know, pump books that often. I'll encourage you to go get one. But I am encouraging you, you need to get this book. And once you get it, you will not be able to put it down. It is that good. Yesterday's interview, we started her background. Now we're going to be catching up with her coming out of that. And let's jump right back into the interview with Kim Chadwell. And do you still have flashbacks every now and then from time to time? Like, you know, you walk into a restaurant or a store and a smell or something like that just trigger something?
Yes, musty carpet does that to me, and like being in a closet. It's not very often I go in a closet, but just an odd situation where maybe the room is real dark or something. Mm-hmm. But I tell you, it's interesting, and I'll share this with you. My daughter actually said the other day, she said, "Mama, if this had happened 3 months ago, this would have been the very ending of your book." But I had something just happen just 2 weeks ago. But, you know, I've written this book, and I've journeyed, I've done the work, I've gotten the trenches, and I've just, you know, I've done the dirty work.
Yeah.
And felt like I was doing good. And I actually remember saying sort of to myself, you know, I think I got it. You know, I think I've overcome this, and it's really, really behind me. And I've journeyed through forgiveness. I feel great. Yay. Okay. So then I get this call, not even 2 weeks ago. And it was from a sibling, an extended family member.
Okay.
But my sister, my one sibling, died.
Oh,
okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it's the first of the six of us to have passed away.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew that I knew when I got the call and the way it was said to me that everyone knew about it. So what happened was she got a diagnosis of cancer, sort of a sudden diagnosis, on a Friday. On the Monday, she went into the hospital for her first treatment of chemo, but became very ill and passed away on the Friday. So within 6-7 days, she died.
Yeah.
And every single one of them knew about it. Every single one of them were there. Several traveled several hours and were in town the entire week. And not one called me.
Yeah. Wow.
I got the call on the Saturday morning from a person who was not even a relative.
Mm.
So not only did I not know, but I did not even get the call from one of my siblings.
Why do you think that is?
Mean and cruel.
They're still
and unfair.
Yeah.
And still dysfunctional and still the game. Mm. And the words out of my mouth were, "No one will ever say what I wrote in the book was not true," because it just lived itself out.
Yeah.
And even now, it's now been 2 weeks tomorrow, so a couple of, and none have called me, none.
My goodness.
So it's given me closure, and I think that sometimes we carry this sort of a hidden guilt where we think, oh, well, maybe if I did say something different, or maybe if I had worded that differently, or maybe if I had, you know, so we always carry that.
Oh, yeah.
We think I could have been. But this situation brought me total closure because I wasn't there. I wasn't included.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't a part of it for them to have made that choice.
Right.
And in a way, it was a little bit freeing. And I had a moment. I felt it was a blow.
Yeah.
Oh, it didn't feel good at all. But I recovered quickly. And the Lord's been with me and has guided me the last, 10 days through this. Yeah. And I'm still using the story. And I know that my story may not match others, but I can assure you that, elements of forgiveness and wounds and hurt and rejection, each and every one of us deal with at any point in our lives. Mm-hmm. And we come to that place, that crossroads of choice, and Dripping in Grace discusses the choices to help get to victory.
Amen. Tell us about Mrs. Marshall and how she impacted your life. Mm-hmm. I love that story.
Oh, this one makes me weep. I had a teacher, and I had the same teacher for 5th and 6th grade. And, just a typical, I think some schools still have it, where you're in one class for the year. Mm-hmm. And she was such a neat teacher. She was easygoing. She was pleasant. She was kind. And this teacher, one particular day, early in the school year, called me up to her desk, and I went up, and as usual, kept my head down and stood there just waiting for whatever was going to be said. And she said my name again, and I wrote about it in the book, and it's like, Kim, and Kim, look at me. So finally, she reaches with her hand and tilts my chin up, but I kept my eyes closed. I was terrified to look at her, as any adult. And she waited, and I finally sort of peeked my eyes open, and she was smiling at me. And she said, I like how you did your hair today. You look so pretty. And she just sort of patted my chin and shoulder, and I kind of blinked and went back to my desk. And I wrote in the book that teacher with the wooden floor classroom with the big chalkboard across the wall with white chalk on it scribbled her name in my heart and never let her go. And I had her 2 years. I have never forgotten her and her impact on my life. I couldn't wait till Monday mornings, and I hated Friday afternoons. Mm-hmm. I knew what color her car that she drove, and she just made me feel so good, and there was no trouble those 2 years. She had told me later when we did meet up that she'd been told I was going to be a problem, and she said, I never had an ounce of problem with you. And I saw her the first time just a couple years ago, and if you think of the math, I guess it was the first time in 45 years. I mean, I'm in my 50s, so I was about 9 or 10 years old. However old you are in fifth grade. And I saw the most beautiful gray-haired woman I had ever seen. I had never forgotten her. I never will. We've since gotten together a few times. She came to the book launch. And actually, if you go to my website, there's a picture of her in the book when we got together. And there's a picture on the website at the book launch. She's standing. It's an older gray-headed woman, and it's her. And she is one of those people that, you learn in life that they just are gifted teachers, and she was. Amen. And every one of us loved her. And she made a tremendous impact on my life and still is. When we got together in June, she gave me some very encouraging things. Just almost felt like she was my mother in a way. Amen. And it was wonderful.
Amen. Amen. Now, was there ever a time, and I think in answer to this question, what you just went through with the death of your sister is probably an example of this, where the curtain was pulled back and you realized, I guess the way to ask this, when was the first time that you realized, I'm going to survive this no matter what?
Well, I remember one morning when I was 17, when I had been praying to die in my sleep, I heard clearly in my spirit, there's purpose to your life. Which is why I was not being allowed to die, which begged and begged God night after night. I tell you, as I've grown in the Lord and made better choices in my life, or I should say had a stronger moral compass, and I began to witness and saw their lives deteriorating and the cruelty and the meanness within them, I just knew I was going to be different. And I knew I wanted to have a purpose behind the pain, which there is. If you ask, you know, anyone that has endured something and has overcome and is now in leadership for the Lord, there is purpose. And I end the book with the story of Joseph in a very detailed way, which I knew when I read that scripture years ago that that was a very healing point for me, and that is what Joseph said and to his brothers. And he said, "What was it, what you intended for harm, God is using to save the lives of many." Yep. And I made the choice that I was going to use my journey, my story, my hurts, my rejection, my climb, that I was going to share with those who are behind me on the path. And I wanted to be a light and to say, this is how you get here. This is how you do it. Follow my steps, and you're going to make it to the top.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, when you were relating about what happened 2 weeks ago, I can see that as like, okay, you know, like you said, you closed that chapter. I mean, it's behind you now. It's like you've overcome once again, and you're standing at the top of the mountain, because you're not going to allow that to drag you back down into bitterness and anger and all of that stuff that it could do, which would then set you back on your path that you're currently on. I mean, it's, you know,
yes,
there are times when that happens, and I have to catch myself and say, no, that's not me anymore, you know?
Yes, and you know, we need to allow our perpetrator and our offenders to also have the sentence, I'm not that person anymore. And I think that sometimes there are people that continue, just like in my situation, that just continue to be mean and cruel, unfair, dishonest, or on and on, or abusers. And then there's others that it seems like nobody, like if we were the same person we were when we were 20, we should be ashamed. You know, we surely have grown. But in this situation with what happened with my siblings in the last 2 weeks, Bob Russell, who wrote the foreword and is quite well known in our area, and I greatly respect, he's known my story since I was a child, and I contacted him, and we talked, and he said something very interesting to me, and it really was, and he's very good with words, he's a very powerful speaker and teacher and writer, and he said, Kim, he said, when we live for the Lord and we forsake all, God promises that he will replace it 100-fold. He said, you have brothers and sisters in Christ who love you deeply, who will remain loyal to you and will stand by you and be with you. Focus on them and keep going.
Amen.
And amen. I feel for me that what happened was sort of the final closure, the final chapter. Of course, I'm going to be loving and helpful for them as needed, but I think it gave me final closure to the horrendous portion of my life that I no longer need to be a part of.
Yeah, amen, amen. Oh, wow. Folks, this is that riveting of a book. I'm telling you, you need to get a copy of this book. Kim, is this book available on Amazon and in bookstores?
Yes, it is. Okay. It's Dripping in Grace. Mm-hmm. It's on Amazon. It's got a picture of a hand with water dripping out of it. Yep. It says Dripping in Grace by Kim Chadwell. And right now it's on Amazon. We are working to get it because there's so many requests actually all over the world for this book. Mm-hmm. We're working hard to get it into the hard, what do you call it, not hardcover, brick-and-mortar stores of the bookstores, but right now it is available on Amazon. Okay. It's also available on ebook, and the Audible book should be out here in just a few days. Wow. So all of that is available on Amazon.
Amen. And do you have a website as well for the book?
I do. Okay. It's KimChadwellMinistries.org, and you can find me there, and you can write me and contact me, and you can also find me on Facebook. It's the same picture, and it's just me, Simple Kim.
Okay. And is your email on the website as well? Just reach out through the website?
It is.
Okay.
Yes, you can contact me through the website.
All right. I feel we could just go on talking for hours. I mean, your stories are...
I do.
It's brought up a lot of
feelings and emotions from my past, just from mm-hmm. reading it. You know, I did not go anywhere near the depth of despair and troubles that you went through, but just, you know, some of the language you used in describing situations, like I said, is, well, let me put it like this. Oh, about 3-4 months ago, well, I was raised in a dysfunctional family. My father was an alcoholic and married 4 times and all that. And, you know, I swore to go, you know, in and out of prison his whole life. And I swore I was never going to drink alcohol. When I got married, I was only going to be married once, and I'd never go to jail. And I was like 22 years old. My wife and I had an argument. The argument was about how much alcohol I was drinking. I didn't get physical or anything, but, you know, the police came and the MPs, I was in the Army at the time, and I decided I was, you know, big, bad, bold, and I could take on the MPs, which was probably a bad mistake.
Mistake.
And when they slammed that cell door shut, I realized, here I am, drunk, my marriage is on the rocks, and I'm in jail. The 3 things I said I wasn't going to do happened all in one night. And, you know, it all got wiped away. God was merciful and all that. All that was, you know, okay, no harm, no foul, you know, type thing. Go home. But it impacted me. I didn't get born again yet. It took like another 10 years for that to happen. But that was the realization, like, this is how fast it can go south if you don't pay attention to what you're doing. And and I quit drinking in 1995. Didn't know I quit drinking at the time. Just one day I had a drink. I'm tired of that. I put it away. And 6 months later, as we had a leak under the sink, and I was cleaning everything out to tighten up the pipe, and there's this bottle of liquor. It's like, wow. Oh, I remember when I bought this. This was like in November, and this is like going into June, you know. I haven't had a drink of alcohol in 6 months. Wow. And that bottle started talking to me, you know. So I just, dumped it down the sink and hadn't had a drink since. A few months ago, we went out to dinner with the family. It was one of those crowded restaurant scenes where it's, you know, 45 minutes before we can seat you type thing. There wasn't any seating around. So me and my son-in-law walked up to the bar just to get a Coke. And my wife and the girls went out to go window shopping, you know, for the half hour or so and come back. And we're standing there talking. And just that environment, I was leaning on the bar, had the drink. It was a Coke, but it had a drink in my hand. And just the atmosphere, the colors, the noise.
The clinging of the ice on the glass. Yeah,
exactly. Mm-hmm. And I was like, whoa, no. I told myself, I got to step away. I'm just going outside, get fresh air. I got to step out of this environment, you know. But that quickly, I mean, it just like enveloped me. And right now I got goosebumps going up and down my arms just talking about it, you know. And
it's so good that you removed yourself from it, like the Bible says. Flee from it. Move away. There's no negotiating with temptation.
Not at all. That's what I told him. I put the drink down and said, I'm going to go outside and just get some fresh air till it's time to sit down, you know. But your book, what I was reading of it, had the same effect on me. Does that make sense? I mean, folks, this book is so well written. It will bring up things that you have purposely pushed down, and you'll bring them up and you'll be able to deal with it. I think that's the point I'm trying to make, that you need to get this book. I mean, you will not be able to stop reading once you start, unless, like Kim said, you need to set it down, just step away for a little bit, and then come back to it again, because it is that good. And I will.
You know, it's interesting that that's a consistent review from Amazon, and you've shared it, and others, that they couldn't put it down. And I thank everyone for saying that. It's a tremendous compliment. And I wanted to say something that you touched on a little before you told a little bit of your personal story.
Okay.
But I wanted to share this with the listeners, that a wound is the same wound for everyone. To say that, well, you know, my situation is worse than yours, I think we put them in categories.
Yeah.
But to be able to say, you know, rejection is rejection. Mm-hmm. You know, if it's a rejection from a spouse or a rejection at your job, a huge offense is an offense. It's the same. So to say that one person's journey is less or or less relevant, each of us at some point have to deal with it, whether it's a wound from a neighbor next door, and you're having to deal with an ongoing issue, and it's not fair, versus you're going to a job and someone gets promoted and you get stepped on or lied about. I just got a call from someone that I'm very close with. Actually, she's in another country, and she's dealing with horrendous intentional attack at her job.
Wow.
Uncalled for, unwarranted, playing with her time cards, playing, you know, just intentional. And, you know, so, you know, how, and she's like, how? It always comes back to that how. Mm-hmm. So, you know, to say that any of us have a wound, and you don't have to say, well, I've had a life of abuse. Well, I haven't, so I don't think I'll read the book. It's not about that. It's about the revelation that the Lord gave me through a vision, which we've not touched on, but about the four parts, the four pillars of forgiveness that Jesus said within the Lord's Prayer. And I had a vision. I don't want to give all that out here in the interview, but it's in the book. And there's a lot about forgiveness that we're not addressing personally.
Yeah.
So it may not be that you have this deep offense to forgive, but there are elements of forgiveness between us and God and us and our fellow man. And then ultimately, it ends with application. And I shared that in the book, that I actually, my adopted mother had gotten up in years. Mm-hmm. And here I had experienced this tremendous breakthrough, this moment of revelation of forgiveness, and I gave it all up. Well, guess what? I faced her. I was in the same house where I wasn't allowed to eat. I was in the same house where A, B, and C happened, and D, and E, and F. And there she was, up in years, slight dementia. She asked me to do her hair. And there I was standing there, Miss Bible teacher, Miss this, Miss quote scripture that, Miss had a revelation at the altar, Miss that, Miss. And I could have, and anybody could say, and I could probably have 100 people who are Christians that would ultimately say, Kim, just walk away. Just be in peace. We have all these sort of ultimate excuse buttons that we can push and say, well, you know, I'm just going to be peaceful and I'm going to leave. And we think we did it right. But no, I stood there and I knew right then it was the moment of choice. Did I really mean it when I said I forgave her? Did I really mean it that I would share heaven with her?
Yeah.
And I said, yes, I'll do your hair. And she sat down and I share in the book all of the thoughts that were going through my mind as I was doing her hair. But I knew this was the ultimate test for Christ and I wanted to pass.
Amen. And that, those are the types of stories, folks, I'm talking about that. I mean, just as she's talking about, I'm bringing, you know, it's bringing up thoughts and memories. So it will unearth those things that you've buried but not dealt with. Because as she said, you need to deal with these forgiveness issues. And can you briefly go over the four pillars that you're talking about?
Yes, there's, I saw sort of, you think of, and the illustrations are in the book, but if you think of sort of like a pavilion, you see maybe at a picnic ground and just sort of has an open shelter of sorts. It's got four columns. On the front, I saw forgiveness, like sort of, what is it, like a mausoleum, something you'd see at a graveyard, like a big name, and forgiveness across the front. If you step a little to the left, on the side, there are two pillars with names, and that is confession and repentance, and there is a difference, and I address that in the book, that so often we repent, and we give the blanket statement, which is good, but confession goes to a far deeper level of confessing. The Bible says to confess all of our sins, and I spent a great deal of time between me and the Lord in confessing, and actually a call from someone else in another country last night late, and he is still there because he's still like at age 15 because he said he was so bad. But he was sort of a wild boy, and maybe I should say 25, I think is what he said. But and he's addressing it, and he's confessing, and he said he just cannot believe the things that the Lord is bringing to his heart and spirit to deal with. Then on the other side, on the right side of the pavilion, is man. So you see forgiveness from the front. On the left side, the first part of that statement, forgive us our trespasses. That's between man and God. Those two elements are confession and repentance.
Yeah.
Then as we forgive those, that's between man and fellow man. And on that side is accountability and application. That's that portion of forgiveness, that element that sometimes we'll say, well, just God forgive me, but did you go be accountable to that person? Did you go make that right? Or did you just move away and change churches, change jobs, and just put it behind you because after all, you told God, you know, please forgive you. But there's accountability involving other people that as Christians who want to go to the deep water and go to the deeper walk, you got to deal with accountability. And I cannot tell you how many situations I had to make right. And, I really did. I wrote some letters. I made some calls. I gave some money. Yeah, there's a lot of things that we just sort of skirt under the table when we use the tablecloth of, well, God forgave me. And we don't go make some of those wrongs right. And then the other was application, the ultimate portion of forgiveness. And that is when you actually apply your forgiveness to the person who has wounded or offended or hurt you. And I talk about that in that chapter.
Yeah. Amen. Ken, like I said, we could go on and talk for hours. I mean, folks, please go to Amazon, click the link in the show notes, go to Amazon, get Kim's book, Dripping in Grace. You will thoroughly, I can't say you'll enjoy the book because it may bring up some things that the Lord is telling you that you need to deal with, but it is a revelation that will determine the depths of forgiveness, I guess you could say, because Kim went through a lot and the Lord stayed with her, brought her through, and now she's using what she went through to minister to other people all around the world. You hear people from other countries are calling her, and that's, again, going back to the script, the story of Joseph that she alluded to, that what the devil meant for harm, God is now using for good. And we got to leave it at that. Kim, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today. I'd like to stay in touch. Maybe get you back on and, you know, say after the first of the year and see how things are going, how the book is doing, and just to catch up. Sound good?
Oh, I would love to. It was a pleasure, and certainly I would love to. We'll put it on the calendar.
Amen.
And I look forward to hearing your feedback as well. Amen. As you complete the last portion of the book.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Folks, that's all the time we have. We're all out of time. But I'll just leave it at that. For Kim Chadwell and myself, this is Pastor Robert Till reminding you to be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this: your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts, share your unique insights, and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.